As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
In the corner now, trying to bring it out, launch it high to center ice, and it gets free. Kessel's in on the right side, going in a goal! Scores! Phil Kessel snaps it over! Sepp's left shoulder, and it's 1-0 Toronto!
Yes, seemed like old times for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Joe Bowen with the call as the Toronto Maple Leafs, led by Phil Kessel's first goal, gave them 1-0 lead, a 3-0 lead, and then... the sky came falling down for a bit. A vintage 2015 Toronto Maple Leaf hockey as they cling to a 3-2 victory over the Philadelphia Flyers. Outshot, out a lot of things that we'll chat about over the next couple of hours on Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Of course, the big news earlier, the David Clarkson trade to the Columbus Blue Jackets for Nathan Horton. So we will welcome callers to call in as well, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590, and star 590. I think I said star 590 twice, but that's okay. You know, because Ozzy, you were down at the game for a bit. I was back here working hard, and it was weird watching the game for a while because the Clarkson trade caught everybody by surprise. And that's all people were talking about. What was it like down at ACC?
Yeah, you know what? It was very interesting, to say the least, because as you mentioned, I had just gone to the rink a little bit earlier, actually, just after 6 o'clock, and I saw one of the media guys, and it had not been yet public. And so talked about the Clarkson deal with him going to, obviously, the Columbus Blue Jackets for Nathan Horton. And then you just start thinking, you know, was there, what else was involved? Was it just, you know, strictly a trade for trade? And, that's exactly what the focus was. And interesting enough also is, just talking to a few people, they had gone on the air just to tape a portion of Leaf TV. And I think I'm okay to say that, but their lead story was the TJ Brennan trade, you know, like, and so, oh, by the way, we got to throw in David Clarkson. But it was very interesting just to hear everybody's reaction. And I think everybody to some degree is applauding. You know, we're applauding now Dave Nolan for being able to do this. And I'm thinking, okay, I wonder what Gordon would be saying about this, that, you know, you sign a guy to that extended amount of money and term that was left, and it's impossible. And then you might as well give your buddy Damian Cox a lot of, pat him on the back.
Because, for what?
Well, because he again says nobody is you can still make a trade. So, well, so guys okay. like David Clarkson are tradable, but nonetheless, to I guess answer your question, first of all, was what the reaction was. Again, the crowd was very, very, in my opinion, very quiet, very pensive. And I told you when I came here, like, there was a series of saves that Jonathan Bernier made in the first period that I thought people should be standing up, but it was very, very subtle. And now I think just even based on the reaction of them winning this game, we're thinking, what are they doing winning this hockey game, right? So it's an interesting, place for these Leafs to be in, winning a game tonight where you would think that it would have been the exact opposite.
Well, and, you know, to go back to Clarkson deal, it's funny because Ben Annis said it's like Dave Nonis threw up in your house and now has cleaned it up. Okay, eventually. I viewed it on the rebuild that it's like getting the asbestos out of the building. Okay, it's just like the rebuild.
Where do you come up with all of
these
analogies?
Well, we're just trying to think
analogies.
About it because it's like the part of the rebuild is it's created cap space. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I know a guy well, Greg Sutton from Sutton Insurance, that they insure these big contracts. And for a number of years now with these contracts, it's been hard to get insurance companies. Like Lloyd's of London, for example, these big baseball contracts would say, okay, I'm in for a certain amount, not all, and you had to sort of marry them all together. Then some teams are saying, well, the premiums are so high, it's not even really worth getting it. There was zero insurance on Nathan Horton.
Right.
So that's where the Columbus Blue Jackets were stuck. They had to pay full dollar, full value. So the Leafs are willing to pay that money, and Columbus said, please send us we'll take a warm body back that's making money, but at least can play in David Clarkson. Again, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Yes, it was a 3-2 win tonight for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Outshot 49-17, by the way, over the Philadelphia Flyers, but also the David Clarkson trade, or as they were going to lead on Leafs TV with the TJ Brennan trade coming back to the Toronto Marlies. We always welcome your phone calls. Our buddy Steve in Nashville. Steve.
You know, guys, do you know how to spell Kekalainen? Because I really am trying to put together a thank you letter.
To Kekalainen? I can spell thank you.
Yeah. I don't know how many K's are in it, but there's a lot of them, and I like him. You know, as a Leaf fan, this, I will say I'm actually excited. And I know, Gord, you have not wanted to say the word rebuild, but I think we can clearly say that's what's going on here now.
Wow, it's no longer a tweak.
Well, wait a sec, Steve. I don't mind saying the word rebuild. I just think people make this assumption. And first of all, they've had many years to rebuild, and you don't need to give them 5 years arbitrarily to rebuild. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
No, I think you're right. And the comment I had is, I think from a management perspective, it is still a little unsettling that the same group that, as you just said, made this mess is now trying to clean it up. And how much confidence moving forward can you really have? You know, my fears are we go through this process and William Nylander comes into training camp and he looks like he's got skills and suddenly he opens the year with the team. You know, the drafting of this team has been atrocious and Dave Morrison is still head of amateur scouting. You know, there's a lot of those internal issues that I still don't think have been addressed. And the other thing was, it was good to see the Leafs getting back to Leaf hockey tonight. Get outshot, 4-1. Get two goals where literally Kessel and Bozak are just totally cherry picking, floating in the neutral zone, and they win 3-2 and get outplayed. So everything is right in Leaf land, except for the fact that maybe we're actually building towards something here if we can get the right hands controlling the parts.
We will get you. We'll let you buy a vowel. We'll find out how many K's are in Kekalainen as well and get that to you. So he has made Ozzy Steve in Nashville happy tonight. So that's a positive.
Well, you know what? And again, you know, just purely from a monetary perspective, this is huge for the Maple Leafs because...
You're talking about the cap.
I'm talking about the cap, which it is hard dollars that you're actually freeing up. And from a fan's perspective... they don't care. All they care about is what the Leafs are able to do. They don't care that the Leafs are having to still pay Nathan Horton.
Yeah.
It is insurance that's going to pay them. So they were still having to pay the premiums on insurance. So we don't even want to get into that.
No, they got to pay the salary. No, that he's not insured.
Oh,
so that's
insured. So Columbus was stuck.
Yeah, was stuck with a full amount because they chose not to insure him. So that's the point is they're stuck like 30-plus million, and the Leafs said, okay, we'll take it. We'll pay that. Just cash for a guy that we know is not going to play just to free up the cap room.
Okay, so that's fine. You know, dollar for dollar, the business end of things. Again, if I'm Rogers, I'm Bell Media, I'm Larry Tenenbaum, it still bugs me to no end that I'm going to have to make this deal, right? And yet you could look at it and say, okay, we could live with it. I mean, that's just a lot of change.
But it shows a willingness they make a lot of money. So it shows a willingness to swallow, and that's a lot of money to swallow, $5 million a year. The key now, Ozzy, is what do you do with the $5 million?
Okay.
Don't go sign a Jeff Finger or a Tim Connolly or a Jason Blake. Their free agent signings have been, by and large, atrocious, the big ones.
Well,
that's what you can't do.
Yeah, because the first thing that comes to mind, Leafs up against the cap. LA Kings up against the cap, but LA Kings have won a couple of Stanley Cups. Then you look at a team like David Poile in Nashville. They had about $10 million to spend going into this season, and they're the number one ranked NHL team as far as points now, and the luxury that they have to acquire different players or just the flexibility. And so again, it is a rebuild.
Yeah, it's great. We're going to do a lot of caponomics. This is going to test your what high school did you go to?
Royal York Collegiate. It's now the Etobicoke School of the Arts.
And were you good in math?
I was very good, by the way.
Well,
not good in calculus
or
algebra.
Well, I don't think
but hard math, just pure and simple.
Facts and figures, like Joe Friday said, just the facts. You can put your protractors and slide rules away. Jacob in Guelph joining us. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. We got a lot to talk about. What are you thinking?
I was just wondering, who do you think is going to be traded next release?
Well, in what I, first of all, I don't believe any big name will go by the trade deadline. Are you thinking there's a guy that'll go? Like, who do you think will go by the trade deadline, for example?
Well, I was hoping Lupo would go, but that's just my opinion.
Okay, when you're hoping, that's always a problem. There's talk like Brian Burke likes him. He's out in Calgary. Joffrey Lupo, after this year, 3 years, $5.25 million left, and he's been hurt twice this year. That's it. Joffrey Lupo, I think a lot of teams would love to have him. But, Ozzy, the injury thing, just as we're chatting about Nathan Horton never going to play again probably, and the risk you take, it's a calculated risk, and that'd be a tough one to take on Joffrey Lupo given this past season.
Well, there's no question about that, just for the very fact of his just you don't know what you're going to get in the short term, or it is a risky situation, you know, to take on a guy like Joffrey Lupo. But at the same time, you know, you look and you say, well, they're not trading JVR. You know, Tyler Bozak would be an interesting thing for some team, you know, based on his contract. And again, he's a $4.2 million hit for a team maybe that would be interested in changing some things up. He might be a possibility out there, but you go up and down the list again with what Sakira or LA has done with Sakira. There goes Dion Phaneuf,
yeah.
Or the hopes of even
the need for Dion Phaneuf type
exchanging a contract, or even taking on a guy like Mike Richards, for instance, which would have had to have been one of those things. And now you're no longer just getting rid of a guy for the sake of getting rid of him. Like the Clarkson thing to get rid of, that makes perfect sense. But a guy like Dion, you can't just simply get rid of, because it just is simply nobody's going to take him on unless you take somebody else's big chunk of change back.
And by the way, a little bit later on, Pat Morris, who's the agent for David Clarkson, will be joining us. He's also the agent for Mike Richards. So we will chat with him. We'll come back, take your calls, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We'll also hear from Maple Leaf head coach Peter Horachuk as well, and many more. Yeah, by the way, there was a hockey game tonight. And by the way, the Toronto Maple Leafs won 3-2 over the Philadelphia Flyers. Still incredible. You look at the shots on goal, 49-17, and you think at the end of the game, the Flyer goal is coming in the last 10 minutes of play. So it made it pretty interesting. And Ozzy, just so a quick thing. So you're down there. You're always doing your thing, your media stuff, your alumni stuff. So your lovely daughter Abigail with you, and you're the guy that transcends everything. You're with a Philadelphia Flyer fan as well, your buddy?
Yeah, it's and you reminded me, it's coincidental. It's not ironic that Dan is here, you know, because he's here on business, working for Tim Hortons in the United States. And of course, he does some stuff with the Philadelphia Flyers. So, again, I said, thanks for the 2 points.
And Luc Robitaille said hi to him.
Yeah.
How about that? He's connected.
Imagine that. Yeah, I think they went to Sundance Film Festival a couple of weeks ago. Luc took Dan and his wife. Imagine that. So we got a big shots
this
in the studio
today.
This
is nice. I feel like that. So we will come back. Dave just calling in. Hang on the line. We'll get to our callers. And like we said, we'll also head down to Air Canada Center. A night of a Toronto Maple Leaf win, 3-2 over the Philadelphia Flyers. But also the David Clarkson trade coming from nowhere to head to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne, you're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. The game may end, but the analysis never will. Now, Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stelick and Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Puck cleared to the line but not out. Colburn sends the shot towards the net and it's blocked. Grabbed off and a quick pass ahead for Bozak. He's in behind the defensive shot. He scores! Tyler Bozak!
Like we said, seemed like old time at Air Canada Center. Old times at Air Canada Center tonight. First it was Phil Kessel, then Tyler Bozak, 17th of the year. Put the Maple Leafs up 2-0. Dion Phaneuf gave them a 3-0 lead in the third period, and then they hung on for a 3-2 win over the Philadelphia Flyers, despite being outshot by a margin of 49-17. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
And did I hear you correctly when I came into the building that you felt sorry for Rob Zepp? Did I hear that?
I did. Okay. Yes, I did. I because his parents in the crowd, they kept flashing on them in from Newmarket. It's a real neat story. He got pulled when it was 2-0. And I didn't think he was overly at fault. I think it was as much Craig Berube wanted to light a spark on the team. They're in trouble now. They've lost to Buffalo. They've lost to Carolina. And this is a killer loss for them tonight.
And I would agree. But I would say on the Bozak goal, okay, you can't fault him on the Kessel goal. But I was standing right behind at that end where the Leaf alumni box is.
Right.
And watching Bozak. So you take it. Great pass by JVR to spring him loose. He's forced to take the shot on Zepp. Now picture this. He's a right-handed shot. And he's at the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
And he goes against the grain, basically, blocker side, top shelf. That can't happen. That's all I'm saying. So that's why he's pulled.
Two goals on eight shots.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you had an excellent vantage point, but you were juggling a shrimp cocktail and short rib and a little red Shiraz.
You were jealous of that, eh? When I told you short ribs, mashed potato, Caesar salad, it was beautiful.
I was bitter and envious. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that kind of thing. Well, anyway, but you're right. That was the kind of goal, as you say, you know it better than I do. Hey, Ron in Port Colborne's been hanging in for a while. Hey, Ron, welcome to Leafs Nation postgame. I guess he's not. Is he there?
He went to grab a snack.
Oh, wait, hold on. Maybe we have him. Hold on. We're trying here. Hey, Ron, you there? How are you, Ron?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just got home, and I heard about the deal. I was gone to a meeting, and I just had a question. I tried to talk to your screener about it. He wasn't sure. Does that mean Toronto has $10 million now freed up because they can spend over the cap for Norton's contract plus Clark's contract?
Sorry, they can spend over the cap for whose contract?
I heard another analyst.
Okay, I got you.
Horton's contract is $4.5 million,
yeah.
So that they could spend over the cap that much, apparently. Plus, they've just taken Clarkson's contract out the book. So next year, does that mean they have $10 million to go get somebody from Chicago to structure their team? Because Chicago's got to get rid of somebody.
Yeah, no, okay, but first of all, yeah, the term over the cap, you can't spend over the cap, but you can, you know, you can balance it out over the course of a season, so you can. There's temporary times where people can be over, but they've got to figure ways to balance it. If the league is the final say about caps, by the way, so it's got to pass the NHL Central Registry, and as far as the cap goes, otherwise they will refuse the deal. But what will happen in the off season, hypothetically, Ozzie, or what should happen, is Nathan Horton will be declared long-term injury list for next year.
Still gets paid.
He still gets paid, but that $5 million-ish comes off the cap, so you have freed up basically David Clarkson's money now to spend as you wish.
And what you end up, so it still only ends up being, in theory, just over $5 million.
Yeah,
dollars,
in theory, that.
But you can understand that you would think that it amounts to $10 million, right?
How?
Because you're not having to, you're not having to pay Clarkson's salary, or you're not having to pay Nathan Horton's salary.
Well, I still think it's
that's the way some people are looking at it.
I know.
It,
okay? Yeah,
but it's not in dollars for dollars. It doesn't come to that amount.
You know, and the other thing is, okay, so
that's one of those trick questions.
I know. People were talking earlier about, okay, does this mean Steven Stamkos is coming to town? And, you know, other things they got to figure out, what do they pay Jonathan Bernier, Nazem Kadri? So people might say, "Well, I'm not happy with that. You mean that entire money is going to go to give those guys a raise?"
Right.
Well, they're going to have to find money to give those guys a raise. Cody Franson, it could be the kind of money to re-sign a Cody Franson coming back as a UFA if he chose to come back to Toronto in the offseason, those types of things. But it's basically freed up $5 million. But you know the other part, Ozzie, and we're going to talk to Pat Morris a little bit later on, David Clarkson's agent. Like, it wasn't working here, and he knew it, the team knew it, and it was a tough thing to watch. Because you knew there was no silver lining, and he wasn't a guy that was... The guys that were on the short-term contracts all played well, you know, and you knew you were stuck with him, and they probably would have had to buy him out.
Yeah, you know what? I wish you guys would have waited for me. I would have loved to have been a part of that interview, but I'm looking forward to hearing you guys talk about it. But yeah, you know...
Which guys? It's just me.
But just you. Well, you and Pat.
Okay.
You know, talking about why it did not work out. What were David's real true feelings? Because I think we're going to get an opportunity eventually to talk to David about it. Like, you know, here's a local kid, number 71, you know, Wendell Clarkson, you know, like all of that stuff. And just from a perspective, and I was telling this to a guy in the elevator, is that he just really, for whatever reason, it's like, how do you not jump on this opportunity? You've got everything right there at you, and you simply just not take advantage of it. And that is the most disappointing part of this whole deal.
He's going to have a conference call. Matt Brown just advised me, or as the earlier caller said, the screener, called, said 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, David Clarkson will be having a media conference call with the media, obviously. I mean, you know, guys like Gary Roberts, Joe Nieuwendyk for 1 year, Curtis Joseph, you know, Wendell came back a couple more times, even though he wasn't a Toronto kid. He'd started here. So you can have success being from this area. You know, it's not impossible. And, you know, in David Clarkson's case, it's a funny one. I certainly advocated the move. I was pro them signing him as an unrestricted free agent.
We were both excited about him, David Bolin, coming that summer after the Bruin defeat.
You know,
there's a lot to like about it.
Well, and you keep in mind, and you did that game seven. You were actually there in Boston, but all of a sudden it became very clear that you said, okay, if David Bolin, David Clarkson, and Jonathan Bernier had been on the ice, it wouldn't have happened. You know, you get swept up in all that kind of thinking. And, you know, meanwhile, he went to the final with the New Jersey Devils, a system that really suited him, an underrated lineman in Patrick Eliash, a coach in Peter DeBoer who coached him in junior hockey. So his one big offensive year was the right year when his contract was up. I, you know, we used to kid, he fell a lot. Like, he fell a lot. And he had one hand on the stick a lot. Like, it was just things I didn't remember from watching him as an opponent. And then you just kept thinking, it's just, you know, you thought early this year things were going well. You thought there was a reset for him and the team.
Yeah, you know what? And just observing him as to the way in which he played the game, he seemed to be in between, you know, like, if the puck was going north, he was heading south. There was just never that real synergy or, you know, if you want to call it hockey smarts, hockey sense, a feel for the game in the offensive zone. You got to wonder, as you look back and you say, was it just simple enough for the things that you indicated with Eliash as a real smart, intelligent player in the offensive zone that would hold the puck, that would make plays, and David Clarkson being told by Peter DeBoer all the time, this is what you need to do. Get to the front of the net, because I think players strive on instruction and giving them a form of structure that a guy like David Clarkson, I thought that's what he really did need and continued to be in his grill about it. And people told me about that. That's what Pete did. And so credited Peter DeBoer. But again, with the line mates here and everything, just was never in sync right from the get-go in a Leaf uniform.
Well, Chris Johnson joining us from Air Canada Centre. And like we said, talk about your reaction as far as the news before the game tonight.
Well, it was a pretty big shock. You know, I would think if we had been talking about any of the players that the Leafs might deal, you know, I just was of the view that they wouldn't be able to trade Clarkson's contract. Unless they took on another one. So, you know, the fact that, and I guess they are taking on a contract here in Nathan Horton, but he's a player that won't be on the roster and they can use the long-term injury space if needed, you know, to go above the cap, you know, by his amount. So, you know, it's worked out really well for the Leafs. I would never, have guessed they would be able to rid themselves of that contract. And I think a fresh start will do David Clarkson well. Too, because clearly it wasn't going very well here in Toronto for him.
So as far as this whole insurance thing, you know, that Gordon and I have been talking about, you know, with Columbus having taken no insurance on Nathan Horton, so they were stuck no matter what. So again, this is just purely a money-for-money deal, but again, you get a guy back that at least is a body, and you hope you can get something out of him because – you are paying for somebody that you're getting nothing out of. So again, this is in some ways a bit of a risk. And I don't know what you think, Chris, whether David Clarkson could again regain some kind of form. What are your thoughts about David Clarkson moving forward?
Well, I'll tell you, the most interesting part of this deal is that Columbus and not Toronto was the one that proposed it and kind of came up with it. And the key issue was, as you mentioned, insurance. You know, Nathan Horton had a long history of shoulder injuries and problems when the Blue Jackets signed him, and at that time they were unable to insure his contract because of that injury. Had a subsequent back injury that appears to have ended his career, and they were going to have to pay him $26.1 million in the next five seasons. And for a budget-conscious team that wouldn't have replaced him with a player, that was too much. And you know, it's just as fate would have it, so to speak, David Clarkson's contract matches up almost perfectly with that. It's $27.5 million he's owed. But the Blue Jackets would rather pay a guy who's playing for them than one who isn't. And, you know, and that's why they're excited about Clarkson. And then, you know, I do think that David, in a different situation, removed of a lot of the expectations and attention, can become, you know, at least a serviceable player for them. But I really don't think it would have happened here. I mean, there's just so much focus on his deal. I think he tried really hard. You know, I don't think anyone questions that he wasn't as fit as he could be and a committed athlete, but, you know, just it really wasn't a good fit. And for a team like the Leafs, who are so close to the salary cap, getting this kind of flexibility just allows them to operate much better, I think, heading into next season. And you know, maybe even you know, the start, I guess, of seeing more guys with long-term deals to be shipped out.
You got a sense anything else is going to happen by Monday afternoon for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I think it will. You know, I think that part of the reason, you know, Dave Nonis has been, I think he's done an admirable job here the last week or 10 days, you know, in this situation. And he basically set internal prices on the rental players that he knew he would definitely be able to trade. And as soon as Nashville put a first-round pick into that deal, they did Franzen and Santarelli. You know, Nonis didn't wait, obviously, until the deadline day and tried to squeeze a little bit more out. And I think that it's allowed him, obviously, he's made three trades now and sent four players out, but he's left himself time to do more. And I think the appetite is certainly there. It looks to me to be a seller's market so far. I mean, the Horton Clarkson deal is kind of on the side because it's kind of its own separate set of trades. Very unique circumstances around that one. But when you see Jaromír Jágr going to Florida today for a second and a third, you know, even Winnick getting at least a second and fourth back from Pittsburgh, you know, it makes sense if you're a team that's looking at rebuilding to try and move guys right now, because I think that the market is pretty good, you know, of teams willing to pay pretty hefty prices to get these guys.
Yeah, Chris, you know, one interesting comment I want to get out of you is the guys that you mentioned, Winnick, Jágr going, I mean, Jiří Tolusti was another guy, but as you look at a guy like Tolusti, for instance, were you surprised at all that Winnipeg only gave up a third-round pick for a former, you know, 20-goal scorer? And you look at a guy like Jágr, who's old, and you wonder if he's going to really help Florida. And then Daniel Winnick just being a versatile player, it appears as though those two guys in particular, actually their value was more than a guy like Tolusti, who is a former 20-goal scorer.
Well, you know, I think that the Jets did a good job in getting Tolusti at a pretty good price. And I think he's a very good fit for what they have there. I mean, obviously he's played for Paul Maurice, both here in Toronto and in Carolina. He's very tight with a couple of Czech players, Michael Frolik, he grew up with and literally played on the same line as him in Kladno when they were 15 years old. And here they are now in the NHL playing for the Jets. And then, you know, a third and a fifth round pick, all things considered, I think is not a high price for his skill set. He's still in his 20s. You know, there's not a lot of commitment there. He's due to be a free agent. So you're kind of just trying him out right now. And, you know, I thought that was a good deal. And that's kind of the outlier so far. Of all the other trades we've seen, you know, I think that the prices have been pretty high for rental players. We've seen some first-round picks move. I still believe we might see another one go when Antoine Vermette's traded from Arizona. And, you know, as I say, this could prove to be a good time for the Leafs to be kind of entering this mode because, you know, I think they've done well in the deals they've made, and I think there's still more trades out there for them to complete.
Well, we know you'll be busy over the next couple of days following all that. Of course, can follow it all on sportsnet.ca. Thanks as always, Chris.
No problem, guys. By the way, at least one tonight, 3-2.
When's the game started? Son of a gun. Okay, I'm gonna look into that. I don't know if you. I don't. That may be inaccurate. We'll find out.
Okay, guys.
Thanks a lot, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, joining us. Yes, it was a 3-2 win for the Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, how about that? You never asked him one question about the game. Like you obviously don't care.
Well, no, I'm going to save it for you and see okay. What you saw from the big alumni box up there through your rose-colored glasses as you sip some Shiraz. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne here on Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Giroux at the far half boards, back to the point, shot by, another shot, scores! Shen in front of the net. The shot from the point from strike was stopped by Bernier. but Braden Schenn is there to pound it home, and it is 3-2.
Little too close to comfort at the end of tonight's game. A second Philadelphia Flyer goal cut the margin to 3-2, as you heard Joe Bowen. Regales with the Maple Leafs, despite being outshot 49-17, did hang on for the 3-2 victory. Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne, welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet. 590 The Fan. And Ozzy, you were down there getting the firsthand account what was going on tonight. Pat Morse of the Newport Sports Group is the agent to David Clarkson, and I had a chance to catch up with him for a few minutes talking about the trade and from his point of view and his client's point of view.
Must be a different kind of feeling, this one, Pat, that you put so much into it, getting the contract done with Toronto. It went south for whatever reasons, and then seemingly to the outside world, this kind of resolution today.
Well, you know what? I think David came with a lot of expectations his own. Toronto, the fans, got off to a rough start last year in his first season and never really got on track with the suspension and then an injury and then some play that he was behind, I think, from not having started the season. This year, I think, was better. There was a lot better times, better segments of the season, but some ups and downs, too, that correlated with the ups and downs of the Maple Leafs. So this gives David a fresh start, relieves Toronto of some cap space with the acquisition of Horton back. So it's a positive day for David, a new beginning for him.
Now, the dialogue with you, because he does have, my understanding, either a no-move or a limited no-trade kind of contract. I mean, did he already have the teams in order that he would want to go to, or did Dave Nonis contact you as a piece of getting it done?
We had a 14-team trade list that had to be filed in June, which was, and we worked our way through. Dave kept me in the loop, and when it was appropriate, I brought David in the loop, and we had some discussions, and it consummated in today's transaction.
We haven't a chance to talk to Dave Clarkson, but a Toronto kid, so many guys like coming back. You see whether it's a Gary Roberts or somebody from the area that it does work out. Other guys, it hasn't worked out. I mean, how does he feel today?
You know what, I think the weight of the world always seems to go on his shoulders. So when he picked Toronto, that was the downside if it didn't go well, if the team didn't perform well. So David's accountable. He needed to be better. The team has had difficulty. There were some ups and downs, some good times, an honor in his mind to put on Toronto Maple Leaf uniform. He didn't reach his expectations, and at the same time, the team has not reached the levels that they would want to reach. So I think at this point in time, being able to move on to a new team is good for David, and you know, Toronto would speak for itself on that.
Pat, different systems in New Jersey and in Toronto. How do you see the fit? Because you evaluate it for your clients, for him on ice in Columbus.
Well, there's good opportunity on the right side. They've got a mix of some young players and some expiring contracts. So in assessing their depth, he fits in well. They've got some good players on the left side, and a Nick Foligno and a Calvert and Ryan Johansson and Dubinsky and Anisimov down the middle. So they've got a good forward group, as like he had to participate with in Toronto. You know, playing really with a lot of players in Toronto, a good core and a good group there. So he's excited about, you know, the new opportunity.
Now, trade deadline, you've got a guy named Mike Richards that is of interest to a lot of NHL teams. Do you think he'll be on another NHL roster come Monday?
You know, again, it's a difficult situation like this one was. You know, things can happen. Things come out of the blue like this did. So you never say never, but I would think the expectation is that probably he aligns himself with Los Angeles, stays with them through to the summer. But you know what, I've been surprised before, and it would be welcome. But at the same time, Mike's working hard. He's getting his game back. He's working diligently in Manchester and hopes to get back to the NHL
early next week if he can.
Now, last 2 years, or maybe even 3 years, we've seen more of this free agent frenzy in July that moves seem to be made. They seem to be a little bit more difficult around the trade deadline. Are you seeing that evolving as well? Do you think there'll be the monster deals people think, or do you think that's best suited now for after the NHL draft and around free agent time?
Well, I think with the cap system and teams being tight, if you're not making, it's more difficult to make a hockey trade, and it seems more to be a money trade. If you look at, and then some big trades have already happened with Kane going to Buffalo, with Winnipeg acquiring Myers, et cetera. So, I wouldn't expect there to be earth mind-blowing trades on Monday. I think there's been some to date, and I think there'll still be steady flow. There's lots of good defensemen the teams need, and there's some good forwards that are still available. So I think there'll be a good steady flow, and you know, 12 to 16 deals like there always is in March. But I think the bigger players are more prone to be moved at the draft because they're more money transactions at that time, or more hockey trades, excuse me, at that time than now being more money transactions.
Now, you've had a number of people, players, play for the Toronto Maple Leafs, like all 30 NHL teams. I'm curious, with this kind of retool or rebuild going on, and given David Clarkson's experience in Toronto, would you be a bit more leery or a bit more cautious in guiding a free agent to Toronto?
You know what, it depends upon probably the personality of the player in a lot of ways. Toronto's an attractive market for the popularity of the sport, but there's a lot of pressure playing here. Players can adapt to it. There's opportunity here. There's the ability to join the team and grow with it as the team rebuilds. But you know what, that'll, I'm sure, be a hotbed topic as we hit free agency. You want to have the fit. David thought there was a fit. It, you know, today that fit turned into a new one. So to say it didn't work out, that's for others to talk about. But it's a new opportunity for David Clarkson, and I certainly wouldn't have any hesitation in putting a player in Toronto. But that's, the players make the decisions. We just guide them. We negotiate a contract and give recommendations, and the player ultimately will make the decision. So that'll be up to the guys this summer who we have in free agency.
Well, certainly is a class act off the ice, and great to chat with you tonight. Is Don Meehan in his stately Florida states? Are you manning the fort, or what's going on at Newport?
No, Don will be in his plush seats behind the Leafs goaltender in the first and third. So no, he's at the Flyer game tonight, and I've got other business going on.
Well, I'll let you get back to other business going on. Thanks for making time, Pat. And I know it's a busy few days coming up. All the best.
Yep, my pleasure, Gord. Good speaking to you.
Pat Morris from Newport Sports. I guess Don Meehan had a good view of a lot of shots coming at coming at Jonathan Bernier, if that's where he sat in the first and third period.
You know what? As a partner of yours, it was good to hear you interview Pat Morris. And, you know, I gleaned a little bit of information. You know, surprise, surprise. There's not too many things that I learned actually from you. But one of the things I did, wanted to ask you about, were you surprised at all that that there were 14 teams, that they had a list, so limited movement,
yep.
And yet that list had to be submitted in the summertime?
Yeah.
So was that something that surprised you, yeah, when you asked him that question?
Oh, yeah. I just didn't. So it wasn't like they had to get to him and ask him if he would acquiesce. Columbus was one of the 14 teams, yeah, obviously, on the list. Other thing I found a little surprising was when he feels Mike Richards will still be with the LA Kings organization come Monday evening or Monday afternoon. That's how difficult it is to make those kind of trades. But in Pat Morris's case, and it is big money, you know, it's big money for Pat Morris, it's big money for David Clarkson, but there always is, and you know what, Oz, there's, yeah, the human element. There really, right, is, you know, out there. It doesn't matter how much you're making when things are going well or things aren't going well. And this is a seemingly, as we find out more, like Chris Johnson said, a phone call from Columbus set this going, that, wow, this is a what seems to be a win-win-win situation for everybody in a, you know, hey, Nathan Horton, he doesn't want to play in Toronto. He's the one that had to waive his no trade. He didn't want to play in Boston.
Right.
He went to Columbus because he didn't like the pressure of winning a Stanley Cup in Boston. Does that mean you want to play a single game with the Toronto Maple Leafs when you talk about pressure?
But you know what? It takes two to tangle. And there was a lot to like about him going to Columbus, whether you like it or not. But But with John Davidson there, with, you know, how do you pronounce the GM?
Yarko. Yarko.
Yeah,
his first name. I'm on a first name basis.
You're on a first name.
I call him Yarko. Yarmo.
You know, with what they were able to do, you've got a former Vezina Trophy winner there. You see the emergence of Nick Foligno. You go down the list of Scotty Hartnell being there. Like, it just did not work out for Columbus this year because of a lot of contributing factors. Injuries. They have gone through a ton of injuries. So now, you know, with, I guess,
Ryan Johansson. We forget that. That's the name.
Ryan Johansson started off.
Who proved you don't need training camp.
Yeah. Exactly, but how interesting that how this deal was able to be consummated is because of the dollar for dollar. I mean, yeah. It's almost like, are you kidding that this is able to work out again? Much like, you know, what we saw with Patrick, Evander Kane, and just the needs. The fit was just absolutely perfect, and this is another one of those. And again, getting back to the Mike Richards thing, I think that what makes this even more difficult for LA, even if they're able to trade Mike Richards, you know, and the art of now bringing somebody back, because the challenge for them is, who is that player? It's not going to be somebody up front. If they can unload the contract or even keep some of the money, but even keeping some of the money makes it difficult for a team up against the cap. They traded for Sekera, right?
Yeah.
They have the Voinov situation. So there's a lot of unknowns for LA as they move forward. So, again, the Sekera deal for the LA Kings is a great deal for them. I like Sekera.
Well, 3-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers. Of course, that was Pat Morris we just had on a little bit earlier, the agent for David Clarkson and Mike Richards and many more. Of course, Mike Trakos joining us from the National Post. And big story, of course, and now you want to get right to it, the return of Dion Phaneuf after 12 games out. That's the storyline, I can imagine.
No, I thought we were going to be talking about Zach Sill tonight, boys.
Well, that's right, as well. The Zach Sill era gets underway. I mean, there's all these others. And Ozzie was kidding tongue-in-cheek that Leafs TV was ready to start their pregame show about T.J. Brennan coming back to the organization.
They did, because they had to tape it
before all this happened. So quite a day, which in a lot of ways, I'm talking to Ozzie because he was down there. I was back here at the studio, kind of dwarfed the game.
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know what, at this time of the year where – the Leafs are basically out of it, let's be honest, and we're just looking at who's going to get moved and what might happen in the offseason. I think all the games are going to be basically secondary right now. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we'll just, you know, we actually got phone calls during the game and all that went on. So it's people love this trade deadline, and especially Ozzie, something that comes from nowhere.
Mike, were you able to be in the dressing room after the game and obviously a Leaf win, but, you know, kind of the general reaction of the players? Because I think not only did this David Clarkson trade surprise everybody in the hockey world, I can only assume that the players were equally surprised that this deal was consummated as well.
Yeah, I actually was in the room afterwards, and the players kind of found out basically right before they went out. Peter Holland said that he was wondering why David Clarkson wasn't around. He was wondering what was going on. And a bit of shock was in the dressing room. I think a lot of them are expecting players to be moved. But just like us and just like fans out there, the fact that the Leafs were able to move a guy like Clarkson was definitely surprising. And just talking to, like I asked this to both Clarkson and Jonathan Bernier. I'm sorry, Peter Holland and Jonathan Bernier. I said, well, like, we've seen rental players get moved here with friends in Santorelli and Winnick. But when it's a guy who was arguably signed to be one of the core players, a seven-year contract, massive contract for Clarkson, did it hit that realization that the rebuild is fully on now? And both guys said, yeah, this is almost kind of like they've been hearing that players are rumored to be moved. But when you actually see a guy, like I said, a seven-year contract and get moved, I think it almost hits you right in the face.
Yeah, but, you know, this is where the rebuild is not on yet. The tools to do the rebuild now are being delivered, and they're acquiring assets. I give it all. So to me, that's the next part of the challenge. There seems to be this assumption that it's going to be easy to do, and I also really disagree with just arbitrarily giving 5 years as if that's what it's going to take. I mean, this is a challenge for Brendan Shanahan, Dave Nonis, if he's still here, and all that about the next part. That's the tough part.
Oh, definitely. And like, all you have to do is just look over at Edmonton and see that just tanking and being a terrible team does does not necessarily mean that there's bright days ahead. You've got to be really smart. You've got to be really savvy. And you really have to rely on your scouting and development staff and make sure you're making those right choices and putting players in places to succeed. So free agency is still going to be a huge part of this. It's not like the Leafs can just say, okay, lines 1, 2, and 3 in the minors, you guys are now playing for the Leafs next year. No, you've got to surround these guys with capable guys. And that's why the idea that the Leafs might bring back a Daniel Winnick in the offseason makes a whole lot of sense, because you need those guys, I think, especially if you're going to have some young players and arguably some prospects finding their way. You're going to have to surround them with the proper pieces. And, you know, it's going to be a real test to see how good this management staff is in terms of, like you said, saying rebuild does not necessarily mean you're automatically just going to be 5 years away from a cup contender.
Michael, I want to ask you an interesting question, getting back to David Clarkson, because I want to put you in a situation or a spot, having been a reporter, you visit the dressing room, you pick up on things. The players often talk about how they're a real close group inside that particular dressing room. They like each other. They get along well. I happen to go back and look back on my time here in Toronto when I played with Olchuk and Lehman. And I got to tell you, the relationship between, say, Eddie Olchuk and Vincent Danfous wasn't very good. Gary Lehman and Daniel Marwa, I'm not suggesting that they were at odds, but you throw David Clarkson into the mix of these particular players in general, the core group. What was your insights, if any, that, you know, was it as close as they talk about, or anything there that you can shed as far as their relationship with David Clarkson?
Yeah, that's a good one, because Tyler Bozak said that Clarkson was a close friend of his and that they had become real good friends in the last 2 years. And remember, those two guys were both signed on the same day. And granted, Bozak was a re-sign, so it's not like he was going to a new team. But I didn't get the sense that there was any animosity between Clarkson and some of his teammates. If there might have been, but if so, none of that really leaked out to me. And in the past, I've covered this team when there have been certain cliques where you had, like, your Darcy Tuckers and your Travis Green and your Shane Corson would hang out together, and you'd have the Euros hanging together. In the last little while with this Leafs team, I haven't seen any of that. It seems like it's a pretty inclusive group, and I don't know if that's a testament to how Dion Phaneuf is a captain and how welcoming he is in trying to bring everyone together, whether it's on the road or just in the dressing room, or if it's just the nature of the personalities in the room. But I haven't noticed any kind of certain kind of cliques or some guys not getting along with others. And like I said, it very well might be the case. But if so, none of that has come to my attention.
You know, it's kind of like that old welcome back Cotter thing where the Sweat Hogs, and they like being the Sweat Hogs or something. You know,
they get,
I mean, they've been underachieving since 2015. They're in the special ed class, whatever. They like being it or whatever. They just that kind of thing. I found interesting, because they, to a man, always say that. But I also think, and you know, maybe that's been part of the problem, where there is this void in leadership, is that you need guys that are willing to stand up and be a little different. I know David Boland wasn't happy about the makeup of the dressing room. And I have to think that, you know, David Clarkson, there was an element of that he could have contributed. But I think that's the part, Mike, that really never got going. Because if you're not contributing on the ice like you want to, you really can't do it in the dressing room.
Yeah, and I think the biggest problem with this Leafs team is some of your highest paid players are not necessarily your best players, or in Phil Kessel's case, are not some of your best leaders. So I think that's a big issue, is that you've got Dion Phaneuf, who's making way more money than he probably should be making. And while he wants to be that guy that leads the team on the ice, I think his skills are just, I don't know if they're diminished or they're just not up to snuff to be that kind of player. And you've got a guy like Phil Kessel, who arguably is one of the best snipers in the league, but he just has no interest in being that type of leader. So you've got a lot of guys just kind of not necessarily in the roles that they should be based on how much they're making or what they should be in the dressing room. And I think that maybe stems from it. Like, you can get a Daniel Winnick or a Stefan Robida as complimentary pieces, but to ask those guys to step up and be the type of leaders when they're only getting third-line minutes or third-pairing minutes on defense, it just doesn't hold the same sort of weight as if it's a Jonathan Toews type player.
Michael, just getting back to the game a little bit, you know, how ironic, I guess, with all the changes that have been made, the Leafs come away with a 3-2 victory, but yet revert back to their old ways of winning, getting dramatically outshot, 49-17, yet holding on to the 3-2 victory. Jonathan Bernier, a lot of talk has been placed on Jonathan Bernier or expectations. Seem to have a pretty solid affair and a nice victory under his belt.
Yeah, and he's going to need more of that because let's remember, he's still an RFA going into the summer, and I think the Leafs have no clue as to what type of goaltender they have in him yet. And that's probably because he just hasn't become that, or he hasn't really kind of taken that step to become the established number one yet. So these final, 21 games now, I think it's a great chance for guys like Bernier and also Nazem Kadri to kind of maybe put one foot forward. And I know it's kind of garbage time, but, you know, it still matters, I think, to the higher-ups in terms of how they're evaluating. And if Bernier can maybe go on a little run here and have similar nights to the nights he had or the night that he had tonight, it's going to help him, I think, come contract time.
Well, we will see, of course, yeah, because that money could be used up by Bernier and Nazem Kadri. Who knows what they get in the offseason as restricted
free agents. That money could go fast, man.
It can, like in life. Hey, always appreciate it. These diversions are kind of fun. I guess the diversions will end as far as trades go on Monday. The games will continue. Always appreciate you making time for us, Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks again for having me on.
Michael Tracos of the National Post covers the Toronto Maple Leafs and the National Hockey League. When we come back, we'll hear from the newest Maple Leaf, not Nathan Horton. I guess he's the newest Maple Leaf, Nathan Horton, but Zach Sill, forgotten all this, was a local kid making his debut in the Toronto Maple Leaf jersey. We'll hear from him. We'll also get an update. Lots of out-of-town scores, intriguing as far as playoff implications. This was a killer for Philadelphia, Ozzy. I mean, this is the team that really needs to win games.
Well, you know what? They were coming into tonight 4 points back of Boston. And so, yeah, a game that slides away. Now the Bruins have, in fact, 2 games in hand in Philadelphia. But, you know, still, the Bruins, it's going to be interesting to see what the Bruins, in fact, do. They're the most intriguing team for me in the Eastern Conference with, you know, whether they're buyers, they're sellers. An interesting season it's been for Boston as well.
We'll come back with more Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne. Yes, by the way, the Leafs won 3-2 over the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. We're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Talk about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jake Gardner keeping it in. Kessel into the slot. The shot scores! Dion Phaneuf fits 3-0.
Ends up being the game winner as that third goal becomes the game winner. And what was the 3-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers by the return of Leaf captain Dion Phaneuf after missing 12 games. Gord Stelick, Mark Osborne welcoming you back to Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That was Dion Phaneuf's first goal on home ice in 44 games.
Wow.
I know. He'd scored on the road, hasn't scored at home. The opposite of...
Gets nervous at home, eh?
I guess.
Must be kind of loses a little bit when he goes into his closet, right? Well, and then it gets kind of a little bit, what do I wear tonight?
Back, yeah, the road to the Winter Classic. I mean, the opposite of Ty Domi's great line about Lindy Ruff. Ruff at home, Lindy on the road.
Yes.
He's the opposite in Dion Phaneuf's case. Hey, Zach Sill coming over earlier. What did you think about that pickup? The Leafs do get a second-round pick in 2016 from the Penguins and a fourth.
Well, you know what? You want to know my honest opinion?
Of course, that was for Daniel Winnick.
I love the YouTube clip of him, you know, being mic'd up and, you know, kind of chirping at Dion and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the one thing that you do get, you know, it's a fourth-line player that 27 years of age. I even looked up his stats, and although he... is one I think that has worked to get to where he's at today, which you applaud and hope that you know that is a given no matter what. Is he going to drop the gloves very much? Like, what is it that you're trying to build within this organization a little bit of depth? Could he be a push down for the Marlies in their stretch drive? I have no idea other than I enjoyed listening to him from what I saw him on the YouTube. And again tonight, just over 7 minutes of ice time, a nondescript effort for a new player that's going to be used in a limited role.
And, yeah, he was mic'd up. I think it might have been a road to the Winter Classic for Pittsburgh. I'm not sure, but something. But anyway, he was chirping at Dion about a little bit over a year ago. And here he is, his first game tonight as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like Ozzie said, a little over 7 minutes, Zach Sill.
Happened yesterday, Trevor Smith. I talked to him as soon as I got to the rink, and he drove me back to the hotel today. Yeah. So, yeah, just kind of met up with him a little bit.
Were you familiar with any of the guys?
No, except for Smitty. Me and him played together in Wilkes-Barre for a year, I guess.
My apologies, I'm late to this.
Oh, that's all right.
Debut in Toronto. What was it like?
It was awesome. It was nice to get the win, that's for sure. You know, I always like to get the first one out of the way. It was great throwing the colors on. I found myself sitting here with a smile on my face here a couple of times. Just, you know, it's the dream that I dreamt about when I was a kid. So it's pretty special.
And listen, everybody understands the situation that this team's in right now. But did you take a moment to just kind of relish in the moment and enjoy that, even though the team is not headed for the playoffs?
Absolutely. I think it's the organization's kind of it's a good organization. It's a good team. And you know, the guys in the room are great, and they, you know, welcome me with open arms, and it's been good.
I saw you getting a little bit of a tour after this morning with Trevor Smith, and I know that you played together in Pittsburgh. So is it nice having a guy in the room that you can chat with?
Yeah, absolutely. It little things on where to eat, pregame meal at, and how to get into the building when I'm walking over from the hotel. You know, it's just little things that, you know, like that make it a lot easier.
Do you like the opportunities you got? I know you don't get as much ice time as a group, but it seemed your line was bringing it. Peter certainly loved the speed you guys had on the wing.
Yeah, it was good. You know, we got, try to get in and create some momentum for our team, and had a couple chances out there, almost put one in, but, maybe it'll come in the next couple games.
What's it like transitioning to a new team? Major adrenaline flow as you get things going before things settle down heading to Montreal?
Yeah, it was. It didn't really matter how much sleep I had last night. The adrenaline, pushed me through this game. It was fun. It's different for me. I'd never been, on a different team. So, just kind of rolling with the punches and trying to do my best.
How important was Toronto's speed here tonight in getting things going with the limited chances you did get?
Yeah, I mean, we had not that many shots, but when you have shooters like Kessel and Bozak out there, they're gonna counter, they're gonna put the puck in when they get those chances, and it was key for us tonight.
Was your family watching back home?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Did you have a chance to talk to them after the game yet? Or
no, not yet. No, my phone's probably got a few messages on it now.
And who was the first person you called when the trade happened?
Yeah,
somebody at home?
Yeah, I called my parents, my girlfriend. Let her. We had flights with the girlfriend planned for Pittsburgh, so I had to get on that and get those switched around. So, family and girlfriend, and then my couple of my buddies are also planning trips down to Pittsburgh, so I had to fill them in on flights. They got to get changed around.
Your family must have been excited knowing that you were coming here.
Yeah, absolutely. My dad works in Elmira every couple of weeks, so he's going to get a chance to see some games. And I have family in Peterborough and Kitchener, so it's I got a lot of buddies here from home that moved up from Nova Scotia. So it's different for me. I've never played around, so many family members and that sort of thing, so it's nice.
And the media, I mean, are you finding this a little overwhelming at all? I know you kind of took in the welcome this morning a little bit with an awe.
Yeah, there's a lot of you, that's for sure, that's for sure. But it's nice, it's good. You guys are, good questions, easy questions, it's fun.
Well, he's new, Zach Sill. After a while.
Thrilled to be a Maple Leaf.
As he would. What a thrill. I mean, what about for you? For example, you started with a couple other teams, and when you put the Red Wing jersey on for the first time as your first NHL game, and then compare it when you came over from the New York Rangers, put the Leaf jersey on.
Well, and again, for kids in the Maritime that grow up watching the Maple Leafs and dream of doing it, I mean, it just reminded me of John Brophy, and I know Truro is close to Anacondish where Brophy is from, but again, the Maritimers that love their Maple Leafs, and yeah, the description of putting that jersey on my first game in Maple Leaf Gardens, you think about your parents, your dad taking you to the game, all those stuff I've already talked to you about. But again, for Zach, just commenting on going from a team like Pittsburgh, like that has a chance, and you're playing Crosby and Malkin now to a rebuild here. You're 27 years of age. So where does he fit in with the mix of this organization going forward? But the one thing I would have to say about if you're changing the culture is this kid works. There's a work ethic there. There's just a genuine enthusiasm of him that is part of the process, I think, for this Maple Leaf team to bring guys in here that are going to give it night in and night out. He will.
Well, you go back to that lockout shortened year. And, you know, Don Cherry's a guy that will talk quite a bit about it, that he feels it's missed the line of Fraser McLaren, Colton Orr. Mm-hmm. And they had an edge. They had a bite. They had an identity. Now, the next year, people weren't engaging. So their role just became, didn't matter. They didn't have a role anymore, and they went. They didn't need them or need that role. But in saying that, I got to think, Ozzie, that the lack of a little bit of bite, spite, venom, you know, this team doesn't have it. And it seems like every trade they're making now, whether it's a Zach Sill or acquiring a prospect, it's someone with a little bit of that attitude that seems to be lacking among their 12 forwards.
I would agree with you there, and yet you went out and did that. You brought in David Clarkson. You brought in Roman Polak. I mean, the guys who have done that, but Clarkson didn't on a consistent basis. Polak does, but still it's not enough. And so, again, the mysterious part, and Don Cherry does have an interesting, you know, point to say that the Leafs are or were a different team going back 2 years. But then I would say, what other team has that type of personnel on their fourth lines that are intimidating you to no end, and that's part of their team identity? There's nobody. Can you think of one team that would have those kind of guys?
That's a funny thing that for no reason changed with the last lockout.
Right.
It wasn't like anything was legislated into the game. A lot of the tough guys were on the negotiating committee. They really were. And now a lot of them are out of the game, you know, just because that element. As I worked with George Parros a couple of weeks ago, I mean, he took that shot from Colton Orr, but his Montreal career really started and ended with that one punch.
But one of the things that you have to be able to do is a fourth line, even a tough guy. And St. Louis has one of those guys in Ryan Reeves, okay? The guy can skate well. You look at tonight's game, you know, Zach Rinaldo was inserted into the lineup ahead of Vinny LeCavalier. Now, if I was to ask you, was Rinaldo at all noticeable? Did he have a bearing on the game? Was he a difference maker? Did he give Claude Giroux more room out there as far as what he needed out there? And of course, the answer would be not at all, right? Anyways, I know it was a tough question.
Well, you know what? Tonight, you could say not at all, and I didn't notice him. And I'm just looking. He had 7 minutes, 11 seconds. Yeah, was not a difference maker. Boy, Mark Streit had 10 shots on goal. I mean, yep. Just the Flyers, they had 49 shots. That's all I mean. There were a couple of times when they were a man short that they looked like they were on the power play. There were some weird moments there that they looked rather dominating. So, I mean, I almost look at that. That wasn't as much of a factor, but I hear what you mean. He certainly didn't make the difference that way. And let's get some out-of-town scores in, and then we'll come back to the Leaf game because there's somewhat upsets. I mean, every game matters. You wish the Toronto Maple Leafs were still in that about the playoff race, but some interesting games.
Well, you know what? Here's a case in point. We go over to Buffalo, and the Vancouver Canucks go into Boston, and I know Eddie Lack stood on his head in that big win for Vancouver on the road with Ryan Miller being hurt. But they go into Buffalo tonight, and Buffalo scores 4 third-period goals and beat the Canucks 6-3. So here are the scores for Vancouver. Matthias gets his 15th. Yannick Hansen, goal number 12, and then Daniel Sedin, goal number 14 for the Sabres. Torrey Mitchell, his 4th and 5th. Chris Stewart gets his 11th, and here are the 4 goal scorers in the third period. Mazaros, his 2nd. I mentioned Mitchell already. Brian Flynn gets his 5th, and Brian Gionta, his 7th. So 6-3, that's a big loss for Vancouver in Buffalo tonight.
Yeah, Eddie Lack, the goaltender. Of course, Ryan Miller out for a prolonged period of time, and Chris Stewart's one of those names that's still out there of interest.
Boston.
For the trade deadline. That's
how about that? Did you hear me?
I heard you. You're okay. Right beside me, plus I have headsets on. So Boston, I will remember that for the next Leaf game. How about the New York Rangers down 3-1 after one period of play, come back with 3 goals over the next 40 minutes and defeat the Arizona Coyotes 4-3. For the Rangers, Chris Kreider, his 15th. Lee Stempniak, well, they both scored twice. So Kreider got his 15th and 16th. Lee Stempniak, his 8th and 9th. Of course, we remember him, what the price the Toronto Maple Leafs paid. And for the Arizona Coyotes, Sam Gagne also to his 11th and 12th. Mark Arcobello's 13th. The guy's been with like 8 teams this year. He just scores with everybody he goes to, but a big come-from-behind win for the New York Rangers.
Over to Columbus, David Clarkson wasn't able quite to get to the game because he just found out he was traded around 6 o'clock. Anyways, visa problems. Just kidding. Montreal goes in. I think this is 10 wins in a row for them on the road. Beat the Blue Jackets 5-2. Subban his 12th. Markov is 8th. And what about Pacioretty? Goals number 30. And, oh, maybe they took one away from him. It was reported earlier he had 2 goals in this game. No, but anyways, he hit the 30-goal mark. First player since Michael Ryder. He was the last Canadian to
Michael
do
Ryder.
That. Jacob De La Rose played in the World Juniors here for Team Sweden. Not sure if you remember that, but he.
I remember the World Juniors were here in Toronto. Remember that Air Canada Center?
He gets his first 2 of the season for the Habs. The Blue Jackets scorers were Dubinsky with his 8th, and Marco Dano gets his 3rd. Carey Price red hot for the Les Habitants.
How about this one? Jacob De La Rose?
Yep.
The 499th player to score a goal for the Montreal Canadiens, either in regular season or playoffs. So the next guy who scores his first goal will have that distinction, like a milestone winner, the number 500. How about that?
Wow, exciting.
Okay, sorry to wake you up. Chicago, Florida, the Blackhawks, 3-0 shutout winners over the Florida Panthers. I'm talking louder, so Ozzie will wake up. Turvinen is 3rd, Brandon Saad is 19th, and Jonathan Toews is 19th in the 3-0 shutout. Crawford with the shutout, and of course without Patrick Kane, that's going to be challenging for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, you know what? I want to talk about this game in Nashville where the Wild go in and beat the Predators 4-2. Scoring for Nashville, Fisher is 14th. Craig Smith, goal number 20. And here are the scores for the Wild. Halla, his 6th of the season. Brodziak, his 8th. Nino Niederreiter gets 2 on the year, on the night. 20-21 into an empty net. Devin Dubnyk, by the way, goes 13-3-1 now as a Minnesota Wild. 5 shutouts included in his record there. 9.35 save percentage. And now Minnie moves past Calgary for the wild card spot. So how about Devin Dubnyk's resurgence in the game?
Well, Winnipeg Jets have far and away the most overtime games of any NHL team. It didn't help them tonight as they lose in a shootout 2-1 to the St. Louis Blues. Patrick Berglund is 8th, the lone goal for St. Louis. And for Winnipeg, Mark Scheifele, his 10th. They still get a point. The Jets, a 2-1 shootout loss.
Well, so how many games have they played in an overtime or shootout? Like 21? By far and away, you're saying?
21, yeah. That,
you know that for sure?
I'm guessing, but I think it's about 21.
Okay.
I'll find it in a bit when I can go back to my email. It's about 21, though.
Wow, okay. So they're in a lot of tight hockey games.
I'm really an excellent driver. Yeah. What about games in progress? I'm leaving it to you.
Oh, the games in progress.
Yeah.
Ottawa and Los Angeles.
We're just going to have tone for the next 4 minutes.
I'm just watching it right here. 12 minutes left in the second period. 0-0 is the score in Los Angeles between the Sens and the Kings. Is Sakura in the lineup, Gord? Do you know?
I believe he is not.
Why is he not in the lineup?
If he's not in the lineup, then he is. So it's one or the other. I got to find my
go
note
ahead.
Here about
tell
this.
Us the 2-1 score. No, because Detroit's visiting San Jose.
Here, a Jets overtime stat. Here we go. Oh, shoot, I lost it again.
You know what? Sakura is not in the lineup. So there, I answered my own question.
Okay, hold on here.
So go ahead. Give us the other score. Can you, please?
22nd one. I had it. So they played in 21 before, so this is their 22nd overtime.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
Oh, that's great. Let's go to San Jose where the Red Wings are visiting
Microsoft
the Sharks. Matt Irwin opens the scoring, his 6th of the season in the first period. Then in the second, Timo Pulkkinen, his 2nd of the season, by the way, 29 goals in the American Hockey League. He has 2 now for the Red Wings.
Who's that?
Timu.
Okay.
Timu, not related to Solani. But anyways, Timu, the second ever Timu ever in the history of the National Hockey League.
Then, you sure of that?
And then the Sharks take the lead in the second period. Marlowe, his 13th from Pavelski and Logan Couture. So 2-1 Sharks over the Wings in progress. Timu.
Okay, Timu.
And you know any other Timus?
No, I don't.
Anyways, tell me something I don't know of interest today. That's
It's 22nd overtime game for the Winnipeg Jets. That is a phenomenal number. Dion Phaneuf's first goal in 44 games on home ice, 44 home games. Maple Leafs 3-2 winners over Philadelphia Flyers. And, you know, maybe we'll start or some ways finish where we end that. You were down there. I was watching on TV back here at the Rogers campus. And a very weird crowd night, wasn't it? Just about a game that was going on. A game that the Leafs, it was never in doubt, even when the Leafs had a 3-0 lead. And at the end, it was very much somewhat in doubt when it was cut to 3-2. But it was a strange vibe there, wasn't it, about the team not vying for the playoffs and the David Clarkson trade really catching everybody by surprise and being very favorably received.
Yeah, you know what? And at the end of the night, I remember Peter Horchak talking about, you know, welcoming Dion back in the lineup, which would have certainly been welcomed to get a guy that logs a lot of ice time. Matter of fact, he led all Maple Leaf players in ice time with 25-28 was his time. And you mentioned first time in 44 home games that Dion Phaneuf has been able to score a goal. And then, interesting enough, Jake Gardiner, a very little ice, just over 16 minutes, so the fewest amount of minutes, both him and Stefan Robidoux, who are paired up together. Robidoux just under 16 minutes. So again, you know, we talk about the younger Maple Leaf defenders playing. Dion comes back, and Gardiner ends up playing quite a few less minutes.
Well, we will, of course, be on the airwaves on Saturday, 5 to 7 p.m. It'll be our last Hockey Nation show before the trade deadline.
Are you going to be here?
Usually you make this
Montreal trip. You know,
we did not make it this year. We did not make it. Okay. Usually to go down via rail, our buddy Pierre Santoni and that. It's a great way to go.
Christine Simpson.
She goes. Bob goes. Tommy Bitov. People like that. It's fun. You're always welcome to come.
Do you guys talk about the Raptors at all? Like when you go down there, Tommy Bitov?
We talk about everything. Yeah. Okay. We'll be talking a lot about the Raptors this time around, so we talk a lot about everything. But we will be back, and of course, Leafs in Montreal, that's always a great night, and it'll be our last one. We're on Sunday, too.
Yeah, we're on Sunday, Gord. Don't forget our rare Sunday night game.
It's our last Hockey Nation, the Saturday afternoon hockey radio staple from 5 to 7 p.m., and then the game, and then we're on Sunday. How about
that? We're trying to get Yarmo on, right?
Yep, Yarmo. Yarmo from Yarmo. David Clarkson saying thank you, Yarmo. Well, thank you for listening. A 3-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Philadelphia Flyers as the short-lived David Clarkson era comes to an end. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.